Hello, I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio, which I believe is 12 or 13 years old now. We started our life in a barn and then Aramata Bench. Just a reminder that you can stream Tasting Room Radio on our website, and you can subscribe to the podcast on Google Play Music and Apple Podcasts. Before I tell you about the lineup this week, just know that next week we're going to be talking to the winemaker at Unsworth, Dan Wright, about his new releases and other things. We're also going to attend a gathering in Vancouver at Gotham Restaurant, who are celebrating an anniversary, but also they are announcing a new in-house wine for Gotham and Eyes, and it comes from one of our sponsors. And next week, everybody who's on that show will be asked these questions. One, what's your wine of the year? Two, if you were going to give a gift of wine, what would it be? And three, trends for 2019. So that's next week on Tasting Room Radio on December the 15th. All right, on this show, one of the truly great interviews and people in the world of wine, Jane Ferrari, who is the spokesperson for Yalumba and travels the world doing a great job. She's also part of the company and part of the family. I love talking to her. Gordon Fitzpatrick, who sold Cedar Creek and then a year later opened Fitz Wines at Greta Ranch between Penticton and Peachland. And then Jan Arden, talking about her mother, her book about her mother, and recipes that she cooked for herself and her mom. And finally, David Patterson, the general manager and winemaker at one of the really fine wineries in Canada, Tantalus. And at the same time, I just want to recognize and thank two new segment sponsors for 2019, The Hatch and Bench 1775. Join Road 13 and Unsworth in the Cowichan Valley. We're all set to go for the next year. If you're ready, here we go. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. New releases from Unsworth. The 2015 Cuvée de Lille and a new dessert wine called Mistel, made from 100% estate Pinot Gris. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com. She is Jane Ferrari, the wine ambassador, well, for Yalumba, but for perhaps the Barossa and maybe all of Australia. And I saw you described Jane Ferrari as a raconteur. Are you a raconteur?
Well, I'll take that. Isn't that a nice word for storyteller?
It is a nice word for storyteller, which is what you are.
I'll take that with both hands.
The oldest family winery in Australia?
We're 166 this year. The oldest family-owned winery in Australia, yep. 166 years consecutively, yep.
Those are numbers, but what does it mean in this day and age of family names being buried under by corporations, amalgamations, hostile takeovers, to have that name still out there?
Well, I think it means a great deal to a lot of us that were there. By good fortune and bad, actually, I started with the family business in 1988, and that happened to be the year when there was a huge amount of amalgamation and buyouts in the Australian wine industry. Orlando was owned by Gramps, that changed. Hardy's was owned by Hardy's, that changed. Penfolds was owned by the Penfold Highland family, that changed. Sepults, Lindemans, everything changed. And literally, Yalumba could have gone the same way because there was a massive buyout deal on the table. And Brown-Forman, Jack Daniels, you know, had made an approach. And there was 37 members of the Hillsmith family with an equal share. And it just so happened that Rob, Sam, the two brothers that currently own Yalumba, Mum and Dad decided that no, it's going to stay in family hands. So they borrowed an absolute bomb from the bank and bought out the rest of the family, and I happened to start that year. And interest rates went to 21% overnight in Australia, and it got all very serious very quickly. And we were invited to attend a meeting one afternoon, and Robert got up and spoke as a 30-year-old man and said, listen, I can pull this company apart and put it back together again better than it was, but I need a stable financial base to do so. I'd like to invite you, if you will, to consider a voluntary four-year wage freeze. You know, no pay rises for 4 years, and we need to do some hard work, but if we get through the crisis, not when, but if, he said, I promise you, I'll, you know, we'll be family-owned, you know, as long as I'm upright. And so we all voted with show of hands.
Yeah.
And we backed the family, and the family has backed us. And so, you know, when someone like myself or, And, you know, there's a lot of the winemakers that are currently with Yolumba that were there then, and there's a lot of folks that were there then. And when we come to town and say, you know, we're from Yolumba, Australia's oldest family-owned winery, man, we've had to jump through hoops of fire to get here. So it means a huge amount, you know. It's not some fly-by-night marketing wah-wah story that's been invented to win hearts. Man, we lived it. And you know, more power to Rob and Sam and Mum and Dad for taking the hard road, and we went with them.
And how much sweeter does it make the success?
Well, it's a really nice position now because, you know, we don't have a mortgage with the bank.
Yep.
We're in a position where we can run all our vineyards at low yield, which gives us a really lovely opportunity to get more flavour for everything that we do. And then really importantly, it gives us a chance to, as vineyards of provenance come up for sale, gives us a chance to save those. As orchards come up, gives us a chance to buy those. And, you know, we get to do some things because we want to and because you can. You're not completely dictated to by, you know, the financial powers that be. I think it's really important, especially in this day and age where everything's a bit zip-zap, acronym-heavy, you know. It's really important to have somewhere where you can actually touch the flame.
By the way, have I mentioned that we've met Jane Ferrari from Yolumba on the outside bar at the Pan Pacific Hotel, and it's rush hour in the Inner Harbor. We've got helicopters, flow planes, seaplanes, people yelling.
Cruise
it's
ships.
A wonderful. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a busy harbor, man. But it's beautiful today. The water's like oil. The seaplanes just look like, you know, beautiful birds coming in and landing. And you know, why wouldn't you want to be out on the water?
What brings your trip to the colonies?
I was over in Victoria. I haven't been to Western Canada for a while. I've got a fabulous distributor here, Pacific, and was overdue, really, for a visit. Didn't get to Vancouver Wine Fair this year.
Yeah.
So I'm in America for 3 weeks and Canada for two, but not just Western Canada.
Do we remain good customers?
Yeah, I think so. I think we like each other. I think we do like each other. I really like Victoria. Victoria is just happening. It's a brunch town.
It is something else.
It is going on over there, and I really like the island. I've seen a little bit more of it this trip because I got a chance to have a look around. I like it very much. It's exciting, and the, you know, the place is just beautiful. I mean, whichever way you look. Yeah, we like each other, and we like coming here. We speak the same language, I think, wine and food.
What did you bring to pour, Jane? What are you featuring this time around?
I've got the new Octavius. It's a bit of an unusual one because it's the most elegant one we've ever made because we've got like nearly a third from Eden Valley fruit. So it's got that real elegance about it. It's surprised a lot of people from the super smooth George Clooney, smooth from start to finish 2012 vintage. I got the new signature 2013 from a very muscular vintage back to back. And my little star performer that keeps popping well is the 2015 Y Series Viognier.
The Y Series, which is an entry level, isn't it?
Yeah. But you know what? It's entry level, and it's the baby Viognier of our world, but it's from 20-year-old vines. You know, so, you know, and in our country, warm and humid, or warm most of the year, Mediterranean Asian food with a lot of seafood. Does that sound like something similar? Oh, that would be you. So, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Loves pork belly. Getting people to actually try Viognier with pork belly or banh mi, that's really great.
How about Thai, Asian food?
Oh, absolutely. Thai, basil, even Vietnamese, you know. Vietnamese salads. Thai loves scallops and scallops wrapped in prosciutto. That's a bit of a thing that's happening around the world, scallops and chorizo. Loves peel and eat shrimp.
Yeah.
And we've even started trying it with blackened fish tacos and Cajun-style catfish.
She's Jane Ferrari, and I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. I applaud you at Yolumba for resurrecting Viognier, truly. It's just a great story.
Well, yeah, when we planted it in 88... Well, that was part of the renaissance of Yolumba too, after the buyout. When we planted it in 1988, there was only 15 hectares undervined anywhere in the world, in Condro, spiritual home. So, you know, we took a long time to get it right, but we're there now. Kind of succeeded in introducing a lot of the world to Viognier via Australia. So now, Condro allows us to take samples of what they think to be their best vines. So we've got a a block of 13 selections now of Viognier from pretty much their best and our best.
And why the wine, Y Series Viognier?
Well, Y Series was all about making wines that were absolutely true to varietal form,
yeah,
flavour, aroma-wise, that didn't cost a fortune. So Y Series is from our vineyards at Oxford Landing and a couple of other vineyards at Mildura, which is Riverland, which is Languedoc equivalent. But we run it at about 8 or 9 tonnes the acre instead of 12 or 13. And we handle it really gently, and it really rewards us. It gives us that little bit of apricot and peach, gives us the spring blossom, a little bit of viscosity on the palate, and just loves prawns and oysters.
She's Jane Ferrari. This is Tasting Room Radio. I may not see you for a couple of years, or at least a year. Any surprises coming up? Anything you want to tease us with?
Yeah, there is something in the secrets box. I'm not supposed to talk about it. It's a super claret. It's a super Cabernet Shiraz coming out, maybe possibly next year. You know, the old Australian claret of Cabernet Sauvignon and Shiraz blended together is something that every generation, mine included, going back, has grown up with. So there's no reason why we can't use it for old school Cabernet Shiraz from Australia.
Okay, you want the big questions now?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Will the Yankees ever recover from losing Jeter?
No, is the easy answer. I'd like to see Derek Jeter as the manager of the New York Yankees. I think that'd be really fitting. Doesn't matter what he does, he looks good doing it, so that's no.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good in my book.
Everything's
Any
consistent.
Other big questions?
Yes, Australia's place in the world of wine today.
Well, yeah. I think, to be truthful, two worlds. It's kind of a two-headed hydra. We've got two sides to the Australian wine coin. You've got your sunny disposition, sunshine in a bottle, easy drinking, no more than 12, 18 months in the bottle. Ghost brands, southeastern Australia, which is it's not an appellation, it's a marketing term. Not a bad thing, but that's the way it is. And on the other side, you've got all these wines of provenance.
Yeah.
So we're a two-headed hydra. The wines of provenance, which is like 1,600 wineries in Australia doing interesting things, is where I find today is today in my travels, which is England, Scotland, Ireland, Wales, America, Canada, New Zealand, Australia. What I find from people is that they're really interested in the wines of provenance. And by that I mean folks that are doing things that are really interesting with wine, that aren't ghost brands.
Like garagistes?
No, just like wines that have got a winemaker, a winery, and come from a defined place.
Yes, okay.
Right? And so what I'm finding is people are really interested in that. They want the story. They want to meet the people. They want to know about the people. But what we're finding is people are actually coming to they want to do food and wine. That's it. They just want to do food, wine, travel, and meet people. And if they can, they want to get into the back sheds and try homebrew beer or homebrew cider. They want to meet the Fechner brothers that have been running the Apex Bakery in Tanunda for 80 years.
Yeah.
You know, not on their own, but, you know, wood-fired oven. They want to meet Maggie Beer. They want to go to Seppeltsfield, and they want to taste their own birth year in Para.
They want to meet Jane Ferrari.
They want to meet the people.
Except she's in the Canary Islands or something.
Oh, I'm going to be home a lot the end of this year. Don't you worry about that. But I'm finding that the things that people say over and over again are things like, oh, we didn't know. When it comes to Australia, oh, we didn't know that you had 100-year-old vines. Oh, we didn't know that you've been making everything from sparkling to fortified for 160 years. Oh, we didn't know that the French concept of terroir applies to Australia as well. And so I'm finding those sort of comments, oh, how come we don't know that story? And that's a really good question. But I think even though we've been around for so long, I think we're almost the pleasant surprise that no one's expecting when they get to that, you know, when you get to actually meet folks like young David Lehman and folks like Stuart Blackwell, folks like Warren Randall, who's resurrected Seppeltsfield. You know, I think that there's a whole dose of interesting stuff going on in our world that we've almost taken for granted and other folks want to tap into and touch the flame. And I think, good luck, happy days.
Good luck, happy days. And thank God there's the First Families as well.
Well, that's been a really great job, that one. See, that's got a lot of my favourite people. You know, it's funny when you go around the world and people talk to you about Stephen Henschke being really intense and you know, and I don't see that. I see Stephen doing his hobby, which is hot air ballooning. Only he's got like a little personal hot air balloon with a little triangular seat, and he's got his helmet on. He looks like a jolly Christmas ornament when he goes up, you know. So these great characters of our business that we've had in generations, we've had generationally, you know, are all there. And I think it's a really interesting moment that folks are interested in meeting us. I can't wait for it.
Okay, you have to go put your hair up and put on a tiara.
No,
because
this
you're going
is
to
it.
The bank. No, you have to have a black dress or something.
This
you?
Is these are regulation black slacks. These are regulation. These are regulation boots. This is a regulation blouse. I'm off to do the Glamorama one tonight.
All right. Okay.
But yeah, no, it's good to be back because you know Canada has treated us well for a long, long time, and you know when, in all honesty, Robert and Sam's second uncle travelled here. In 1893.
Came through here?
Oh, yes.
In Victoria
and Vancouver. And so we can claim a genuine 123-year relationship with this dominion. And we were too. So, you know, I think it's those sort of things are really important. You can't buy that.
What's your blog?
Family Tales. WordPress, familytales.wordpress.com.
Because you are a storyteller and a raconteur, thank you.
Thank you very much.
She is Jane Ferrari, the wine ambassador for Yalumba, but for perhaps the Barossa and maybe all of Australia. And she's been my guest here outside on the outside patio of the Pan Pacific with all of the traffic going, but well, the human traffic and also the seaplanes and the helicopters, and she's off to the Vancouver Club. Thank you.
No, thank you for having us, and hopefully we'll see you when it's our part of the world next time.
She's Jane Ferrari, and I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Celebrate the new year with a special dinner at Unsworth Restaurant. Chef Martin Hoogeveen has created a fabulous 5-course tasting menu. All the details can be found at unsworthvineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. And what is The Hatch? It is the absolute culmination of the wants and dreams of a select and rare gaggle of people who are unconcerned about the convention and now have a chance to show the world exactly what real wine, real hospitality, and real people are all about. TheHatchWines.com.
This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. He is Gordon Fitzpatrick, president of Fitzpatrick Family Vineyards. Gordon Fitzpatrick is the president of Fitzpatrick Family Vineyards, a glorious location at Greta Ranch, Peachland, between Summerland and Peachland. Let's go over the wine line awards you just won. 5 in total.
4 for our sparkling wines, which is obviously our main
this
focus.
Is good.
It is good. Yeah, no. We had released this spring the first of our reserve sparkling, so a Blanc de Blanc, which is 100% Chardonnay, which you have in hand now. And then our both reserves are from the 2014 vintage, and then we also did a rosé. 100% Pinot Noir. And then I submitted our 2014 Fitz Brut and our 2015 Fitz Brut. Yeah. So those were the 4 that got golds, which is great, especially just out of the gates. And so I was delighted with that. And then our Pink Mile Rosé got a gold as well. So,
are we seeing more and more bubble?
Yes, I think it is a trend that will continue to grow. Relatively small base for BC Bubble right now, but there are a lot of wineries that are doing small amounts, but I think that you're going to see, you know, more and more of it, especially I think as the North American palate matures. You know, in Europe, right, they have champagne for any and all occasions. Here we still think of it a little bit as a celebratory beverage, but what I'm doing with our Fitz Brut, for example, you know, we're doing it exactly the same way as they do it in Champagne, the traditional method, secondary fermentation in the bottle, but yet it's half price of what Champagne is, and it's vintage sparkling wine. And so I want to make sure that people can celebrate any and all occasions. Our hashtag is Why Wait to Celebrate.
Yeah. What's the hashtag for the rosé? Because rosé has simply exploded.
Yeah, I mean, whether it's the sparkling or the still wine, it's unbelievable. So our biggest selling still wine in the winery is our Pink Mile Rosé. The sparkling rosé has been, really well received as well. So I don't know, people just, you know, like it's yes way to rosé.
Do you want to, at this point, stick your neck out and predict what the next trend will be?
I think that the sparkling wine is going to take off. You know, it may take a year or two, but I think that we can do an exceptional job of it here in the Okanagan. And I think that we've got lots of potential to switch people on to that.
Gordon Fitzpatrick, the president, Fitzpatrick Family Vineyards, Greta Ranch, Peachland. How big is the portfolio now?
So we've got four sparkling wines, the Fitz Brut, which is our signature, you know, the orange label, and then the two reserves, the Rosé and the Blanc de Blanc. We introduced a Fitz Cremant, it's 100% Pinot Blanc, to our licensee accounts. It's gone over very, very well. And then in the still wines, we are doing eight. Our Pinot Noir is currently sold out, but we'll be releasing it in November, the 2017. We do a Meritage, but I'm sourcing those grapes from down in Osuyas. So those are the grapes that are coming from elsewhere. Everything else is site-specific. And so we do the Rosé, which I mentioned, a Chardonnay, a Pinot Blanc, a Riesling, a Gewurztraminer, and, of course, the Ehrenfelser.
Is there any one thing left to do?
No, you know, what's nice about this project is not only working with vines that are in their prime, you know, 22 years of age,
nice.
But also, too, just the integration that I'm seeing with our vineyards. My vineyard manager, Merle Lawrence, has been with us for 27 years. Merle actually planted these vines back in the day.
He knows the vines.
He knows the vines. But our winemaker, Sarah Bain, who's come halfway around the world from Central Otago, it's wonderful to see how well and how closely they are working. And because we are so site-specific, just the interaction and the seamless integration between the vineyards and the cellars, that is very, very special. And I think that we can do all of the little things right to keep getting better.
On a bigger picture, Gordon, do we have to make wine for the world, or should we be satisfied with what we have, which is adoration back home?
We're never going to be an exporter of any, you know, size or consequence. I think what will be kind of fun is just, you know, pick and choose and figure out, okay, well, what do we want to share with the world? It will be in small quantities, but I don't know. We have this sort of self-effacing way about being Canadian. Sometimes, you know, we have to submit our wines to other places and other judges and other people to tell us that we do something exceptionally well. And so I think that there is room for us on a limited scale to present the very best of what we can do, just to let people know how special this is as a great growing region.
And, you know, this is an ongoing question. You've heard this question tons of times, and that is, shouldn't we focus on one wine like New Zealand and then just go crazy on it, or are we always going to be making everything?
I think that over a period of time we will probably reduce the number of wines that we make here, but I think also too it's our diversity that defines us. I mean, Terry, we could fill up the wine shop with the winemakers up and down the valley. You're not going to get a consensus, so it ain't going to happen. Yeah. We're not going to pull out. I mean, there's like 60 varietals. I think that is a bit much, but you know, you're already starting to see it happen in certain areas. You know, you look at East Kelowna with the Riesling, and obviously the emphasis on the bigger reds and Oliver and Osuyas. And over a period of time, we'll probably fine tune that. But we're not going to rally behind one or two varietals. I think that we will probably narrow it down over a period of time based on success. Imitation's always the best form of flattery, so that will happen to a certain extent. But we've got so many different microclimates, 35 different soil types. You well know growing grapes in Osuyas is very different than growing grapes lake country. So let's embrace it. And I think by and large, it is going to be something that was predominantly going to get sold here in BC. It would be nice to share it with more across Canada.
No kidding.
And so we got to break down those interprovincial trade barriers, which I know that you firmly believe in.
How long will that take? Some of us have limited years.
I know. It's going to take longer than we would like,
so
but it'll happen. It'll happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a battle you're gearing up for?
A battle?
Any. What's your next fight?
I'm a lover, not a fighter. You know that, Terry.
Okay.
No, you know, it's just, you know, the focus on the bubble, give it a little bit more attention, which, you know, I think that, you know, obviously I'm pleased with our good start, and it was nice to get the accolades from the National Wine Awards. But, you know, right now, I mean, this is kind of interesting, this project for me, Terry, because, you know, I was pretty hands-on at Cedar Creek, but not as hands-on as I am. I'm delivering wine. I'm behind the tasting bar. I'm giving tours. You know, so this is pretty personal, maybe even more so than what Cedar Creek was, just because of, you know, the size of it. So it's just spreading the word and get people switched on to the fits.
How's the food program going? Because I know you love that.
Yeah, and one of the reasons why we're doing the Fitz Bistro, you know, is to, again, educate people. A lot of people think of sparkling wine as just an aperitif, but it is such a wonderful food wine. So thin crust pizzas are the specialty of the house, and I'm telling you, you know, bottle of bubble with our wonderful pizzas here. Pretty hard to beat, especially on a day like today and overlooking the patio.
Gordon Fitzpatrick, the president of Fitzpatrick Family Vineyards. Is bubble a tougher sell with the restaurants in BC?
Our Camont is going great, and I think that that is because of, you know, the price point. You know, it's only, because it's a Camont, it only needs to be on the lees for 9 months, and so we've actually had to cap our accounts because, you know, I only sold it for about a month. We'll be making more of it next year. And so that is a very nice introduction to what we do. You know, I mean, to do a sparkling wine the right way, you know, the price points are going to be a little bit higher. Our Fitz Brut, as I mentioned, is half price of champagne, but it's still $32.50. You know, we're getting good support. The only thing is that, you know, although I've done this before, it's one account at a time.
Yeah.
And so it's just a matter of getting out there. Had a wonderful reception to the wine, and, you know, we're getting lots of good traction. You know, you just keep adding to the mix.
Gordon Fitzpatrick, the president of Fitzpatrick Family Vineyards, Greta Ranch, Peachland, although Summerlin does lay claim to him. But you'll see him, and don't drive by. Come down. Come into the bubble zone. What's that first sign say up there?
Entering the bubble zone.
Entering the bubble zone. Ah, it's a beautiful thing. But these vines are smiling at us. This is Tasting Room Radio in the Okanagan. I'm Terry David Mulligan.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. If you're committed to Christmas gifts and giving, consider Talking Stories Red, Screaming Frenzy Meritage, or how about the Cologne Collection, 115-667 and 777 Pinot Noirs. Or for that one-of-a-kind gift, you can take home Grayson Reardon. And best of all, he works for The Hatch. You can take him back after Christmas. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775. For many, there is no finer gift to receive than wine for the holidays. They offer the 12-day Advent Pack, the Red Wine 3-Pack, the Cozy Cabin, Company's Coming, the White Christmas Trio. Check it all out at bench1775.com. I have found Jan Arden. The book is called Feeding My Mother, Comfort and Laughter in the Kitchen as My Mom Lives with Memory Loss. If people are going to pick this up and think that it's a recipe book and nothing more, they are in for a shock when they read these stories.
Yeah, the recipes are kind of bonus. Not an afterthought, but we just thought because the catalyst of me starting to write was because my parents started coming for meals, and then pretty soon I was feeding them 3 times a day, 7 days a week sort of thing. So it really ramped up rapidly into, as they were declining, my job got bigger. So yeah, I know it's a bit wordy, the subtitle, the subtext underneath the Feeding My Mother, but we really didn't know how else to explain what was happening. And it did have to do with food, and it did have to do with spirituality and, you know, feeding my mother kindness and empathy and compassion and all those things. So it's quite metaphorical too.
You're right about being the memory police for your parents.
I'm glad I wrote it down, Terry, because I think when I first started, you're so riddled with fear. I remember sitting down with my computer and thinking, I'm going to hit send and put this on Facebook. I'm not sure what's going to come of it, because there's a lot of shame associated with Alzheimer's and dementia. I don't know why, but people are reluctant to talk about them. They try and hide it away. Even the people with the diseases are ashamed of their memory loss. They don't like it, and that's why it's such a twisty thing. I was glad to get the words out. I was very relieved that so many people responded and said, I'm in the same situation. I don't know why. I took a lot of solace in that.
And some of those emails that came back to you were just amazing.
Thousands of them. Thousands. The first blog that I ever did, I woke up to 3,500 comments. I had tried to read them over the next few days, but I couldn't keep up. People started talking to each other. So there was comments about the comments that they were making. So it was a very intricate web, and I thought, I've opened a door here, and people were just meeting each other online and talking about, you know, what they were doing and what they weren't doing and what they thought they should be doing and how frustrating it was. But mostly it's very fear-based stuff. People were very angry and frustrated and afraid of where their future was going, because this is a disease that does not get better. The race is on to find those missing links as far as how the brain is disconnecting itself. They're starting to find a lot of things that are common threads, but as far as treatment of disease, there is zero treatment. There's a few drugs that they don't really turn the clock, the hands of time back. They will stabilize a patient in some cases. Yeah. Like my mom's been on an experimental drug for a couple of years. She's now dropped below what they think the drug can even, you know, be useful in any way. My mom has really deteriorated in the last 3 months. This will be our last Christmas in the house.
Your parents made you aware of your own mortality?
Very much so. And, you know, it has crossed my mind many times that, am I going to be dealing with this kind of mental blockades? Am I going to be dealing with this? My grandmother was exactly like my mom.
Hmm.
My dad had dementia, but he was also a severe alcoholic for many, many years, smoked a couple packs a day and never exercised a day in his life. He had a very specific kind of dementia. My mom has Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
My grandmother had Alzheimer's. So I'm hoping that, you know, if I just keep going forward in my life and exercising and eating well and, you know, really looking after myself and being active, that I can avoid it. But I don't know, Terry. It crosses my mind a lot. It scares me.
I wrote something down that says, we all leave the hose on. I mean, you make a reference to the fact that somebody left a hose on, right?
Oh, God.
Them, right?
So many times.
But
yeah.
I mean, I fill a fish pond, and I leave the hose on, and those fish are swimming back, trying not to be part of the lawn. So, I mean, I do it. I found the channel changer in the dishwasher. I mean, everybody does stupid things.
I know, and see, this is where that part of it is all par for the course. It's like muscle memory. But, you know, the one thing that I do take solace in, if we are smart enough to have the cloud where we store billions of bits of information, pictures, emails, letters,
right,
documents, is it so far out of reach to think that the universe in all its almighty wisdom doesn't have all of my mom's memories, all of my dad's thoughts and hopes stored? And that, you know, the body is just like the little key that you stick into the computer.
Yep.
And that everything is stored somewhere. And I really do believe that. I think my mom will be reunited with all of those things when she's out of this body. This is a difficult time for her as far as being a human being. And we all go through it.
That's Jan Arden. The book is called Feeding My Mother, Comfort and Laughter in the Kitchen as My Mom Lives with Memory Loss. Last night at 3 a.m., I was reading this page. You write, December the 24th, 2016, you're grateful. You're grateful for the mishaps, the mistakes, the failures. And you believe that there are a lot of things to look forward to in 2017. How'd the year turn out?
Fantastic. like in so many ways, I'm a much better version of myself. I finally started looking after myself. I mean, I have been the last few years, but I really hunkered down. I think I let go of a lot of, I wanted to drag mom with me. I wanted her to remember. I was very angry with her. And like you said, the memory police. And I finally let go. I go where she goes now.
Yep.
And my life's a lot easier. I've let her go. My mom is gone. My mom is gone. I have somebody else that I'm caring for. Yes, it's her, but it's really not. And I've had to reconcile myself with that. And I felt very orphaned. I felt really sorry for myself. But I'm glad that I have still this version of her. And she rises up as much as she can to let me know that I'm doing okay. She'll say, I wouldn't know what to do without you, Jan. And she still knows who I am.
How's your heart in all of this?
My heart's been really good. I haven't had any kind of medical heart things for a long time, but I don't drink anymore. And, yeah, you know, I gave up all these stupid things that I, you know, that we all do to ourselves. But I'm 55 years old. I mean, at some point you have to just say, listen, I've got to change the way I'm living. But I feel better now than I did, you know, 20 years ago. So I just, and working with Bruce Allen is a dream.
Yep.
I mean, he's got me engaged in so many things. I mean,
that's a great
team.
Him,
yeah, well, between him and my road manager, Chris, who, you know, Chris Brunton and I sat down, you know, in January. Well, we sat down first and we said, what does our year look like? What does 2017 look like? And then Chris and I flew out to Bruce's office and we sat down and said, this is what we'd like to have happen. And Bruce is like, absolutely. And he just put the wheels in motion. Like, Chris is like, do the book. Have everything in there, you know, because people were saying, I'd love a coffee table book of your road pictures. Are you ever going to do a recipe book? You know, my mom's got Alzheimer's too. And we were just like, yeah, maybe we should just do it all together. And we took it to Random House. Bruce, you know, took the idea to Random House and they were like, let's try it. We don't know what it's going to be, but let's do it.
Oh, but Jen, it turned out so well.
It really has surpassed my... It's such a love letter to my mom. And if I never sold a book, I would have this great scrapbook of mom. but I am blown away by the response, Terry. I can't even get my head around it.
And the recipes, you had help there, but these are, like, for example, there was a time you describe in the book where you want your mom to put on 5 pounds, but you want to lose 5 pounds. So
yeah.
you had different recipes going on.
Yeah, it was tricky, but you know, I've always loved cooking. I've always loved it. But when I went to put the recipes together, I'm like, oh my God, I never write any of this stuff down. I don't know how much cinnamon or how much flour. So I kind of, as I went through it in my head, I estimated it, and I sent all my stuff to my wonderful friend, Julie Van Rosendahl, who's...
Yay, Julie.
Well, you know Julie, just a brilliant foodie, just a great ambassador to cooks, home cooks, chefs everywhere. And she really made sense of it because I said, I don't know how you write a recipe out, Julie. She goes, leave it with me. I said, is this actually something? She goes, oh, yeah, it's fine. She goes, you got all the right stuff. Everything looks good. I'm like, because that's what I do at home. So she made sense of all that stuff for me. I'm like, oh, my God.
Well, way to go. And you can concentrate on what you had to write about.
Exactly.
By the way, a couple of recipes because this is a food and wine show. The four bean veggie stoupie, is it? Stoops?
Yep.
Stoop?
Well,
okay.
I always thought I was making soup, Terry,
so
but it was always so thick you needed
it's
like
stoop.
A fork. Yeah.
Okay.
So I just called it stoop.
By the way, it reminded me of the campfire scene from Blazing Saddles.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Candy gram for Mr. Mambo. One of my favorite movies. I don't even want to admit to that, but, you know, any kind of farting scene in a movie is very high.
Absolutely.
I hold it in high regard.
And it's socially acceptable now.
Socially acceptable.
And a two-part question. You talk about gratitude. You have great eloquence about gratitude. And then you go directly into a split pea soup thing. And I'm thinking maybe that the split peas were a metaphor for split lives.
No kidding, right?
I was thinking too
I
hard.
Make that soup twice a month, and it's something that my mom and dad both really loved, and you can throw it in a pot and forget about it for the day. So all those things are easy. Honestly, if I can make them, I really mean this, anyone can do it.
Well,
anybody.
I'm doing it.
Dough,
I'm doing it tonight.
The pizza dough is fail-proof.
Yeah.
Fat pizza dough is, if you follow those instructions, and the pancakes that don't have any flour, banana, egg, yeah, and peanut butter, you will kind of be mind-boggled when you eat those things, because...
I love the way you put things in capital letters. Don't cut your fingers off.
Well, I meant it.
Yeah, don't burn the hair on your arm.
No, you can't.
If you think you recognize that voice, you do. It's Jan Arden. This is Tasty Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. Jan Arden, at the end of December the 24th, 2016, you said, I think 2017 is going to be just great. If you ask yourself the same question for 2018, what do you think the answer will be?
I think it's going to be such an amazing, beautiful adventure. I feel great. I feel positive. I feel optimistic. You know, I'm horribly sad about my mom, but I think she's given me all the tools that I need to cope. And she's a very tenacious, resilient person. She never felt sorry for herself. She'd be cheering me on no matter how many veils were draped in front of her face. And I know that. She appreciates her life so much. I have a feeling my mom could live to be 100, you know. She may not know anything, but
right,
she's got stuff to do left. But I think 2018 is going to be amazing. I can't wait for people to hear the record. And, yeah, we got lots of little things on the go. It's going to be an exciting year. Terry David Mulligan, who I've known for almost 30 years, but there you go.
Thank you, Jan Arden Richards. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775. For many, there is no finer gift to receive than wine for the holidays. They offer the 12-day Advent Pack, the Red Wine 3-Pack, the Cozy Cabin, Company's Coming, the White Christmas Trio. Check it all out at bench1775.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13, the winner of 15 National Wine Awards for the Wine Aligned 2018 competition, and now officially Canada's Winery of the Year. Road 13, it's all about the dirt. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. Details for this show, all the shows actually, and all the podcasts can be found at mulliganstew.ca. You can find me in the Twitter universe at TD Mulligan. David Patterson, general manager and winemaker at Tantalus. Let's just start, David, if we can, with your Kiwi connection. Where were you living for the better part of your life?
I've been living in Palmerston North, New Zealand, and then for all, basically late teens, early 20s, I'd been living out of a suitcase all around the world, and I was basing myself in Vancouver when I made the decision to go back down to Lincoln and study winemaking. I was actually born in Vancouver. Oh. Through birthright, have both passports, which has been very advantageous for me, seeing I'm now back up in Canada making wine.
It's a swell gift you got there.
Yeah, very good.
How long did you spend at Henschke? One wonderful cellar.
I was there for the 2009 vintage, you know, helped bottle some of the 2008 wines, 2007 reds, and then did the vintage and stayed just a little bit longer after that. So I was probably there for 3.5-4 months. But when I got there, the winemaker had left to a different job. The assistant winemaker had gone up to winemaker, and they had a brand-new rookie assistant winemaker there. So I ended up having to jump in and be the red wine maker for that year. So I ran the red cellar and got to ferment all the wonderful Hill of Grace and Hill of Roses and,
oh man,
Mount Edelston, etc.
And Tantalus. What did you know of Tantalus? What did you know of the Okanagan?
I didn't know a lot about the Okanagan. Tantalus was one of the only places I knew of, because I'd actually worked at Neudorf Cellars in Nelson, New Zealand, with the previous winemaker here, Matt Holmes. So when I got to the Okanagan, he was my first call to see if there was a job with him, or, you know, get the lay of the land. It just happened to be the right place at the right time, and he'd decided to go back to Australia at that stage. So his job was up for grabs, so I ended up slotting right in.
Timing.
In behind Matt. He ended up coming back up the next year and opening Liquidity for a couple of years, and now he's back down at Bannockburn Cellars in Melbourne.
Did I see a note go by saying that you were actually harvesting the Old Vines Riesling today?
Yeah, we're pressing Old Vines Riesling today. It's looking amazing.
Here's a story for you, David. I would go back and forth from to Toronto from time to time, and a couple of times a year, and I'd go to my favorite wine bar. And I tasted my way through the Ontario wines, but I said to the wine bartender, who I think it was a sommelier as well, I said, "Do you have any BC wines that aren't on the list?" And like a like a prohibition rum merchant. He would reach down by his feet and would pull out Tantalus Old Vines Riesling.
Awesome.
And would pour it like we were sneaking contraband into the country. And
it almost is like that when you're out in Ontario.
I know. So how far is the reach for Tantalus? So where is it not found?
Newfoundland, we are in Nova Scotia just a little bit. We're in the SAQ in Quebec. We sell a little bit to Ontario, but I make more money selling to London, England than I do to Ontario. And so we're in London, England, we're in New York, then we're in a lot of the Canadian consulates. Janet Dorzinski takes our wine all over the place and pours it at state dinners.
Way to go, Janet.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's a great ambassador.
David Patterson, Canadian and Kiwi general manager and winemaker at Tantalus. I think, David, you know that we, the consumer, not so much you, but we, the consumer, want to know that if we're reaching for something, we're going to look at the brand, we're going to see Tantalus, we're going to see Riesling, and we're going to grab it because we know that it will be in a pocket, like a sweet spot.
Sure.
Now, the terroir, the weather, everything that affects that harvest comes into play. Do you have to skew that Riesling to our taste buds, or is it what comes out in the final harvest?
It's just what comes out every year. I mean, there is a beautiful consistency from our terroir. It's always going to have a tantalusness about it. But I think what I love about making wine at the level that we make it, that in the volume that we make it, that we're embracing each vintage and we want it to be slightly different. We don't want it to be homogenous and exactly the same. When you're making millions of liters of a certain SKU, you need to have one vintage basically roll into the other and taste very, very similar, where for us, you know, it's always going to be good, but it's going to have the vintage stamp on it each year. So I don't fight that at all. I try and make wine as naturally as possible with little to no additives apart from a bit of sulfur, and really just express the vineyard in that vintage every year.
What was it about the planting, and what was it about those vines that gives it the unique nose and taste?
Well, the base of the Riesling and obviously the Old Vines Riesling are these 1978 plantings of 21B that came from, or it's also known as the Weiss clone out in Ontario, and that came from St. Urbanshof in Germany, and it's a very high acid mineral clone, so there's clonal selection in play. And then I just think we're on a beautiful bench here of lake bed silts, which are really, really lacking in nutrient. So the vines really struggle. So these old vines have gone down 30, 40 feet to gain nutrient, to gain water. Now that they are, you know, they're healthy and they're the age that they are, they're really drawing from lots of different pieces of the soil profile, but a very lean soil profile, which always gives us this mineral whetstone edge to it. And then the vintage will either give us more lemony limey fruit in some years,
yep,
in cooler vintages, or will give us a little bit more of the subtropics in warmer vintages.
David Patterson, general manager and winemaker at Tantalus. David, I didn't mean to get hung up on the Riesling, but that's where I started with Tantalus.
Yeah, no problem.
The Chardonnay must excite you.
Yeah, look, the Chardonnay is getting better and better every year. I mean, we started in the 09 vintage and had a lot of success with it. 10, 11 cold years, so more Chablis in style. Again, trying to just express the vintage every year. We're not trying to force these wines to be what they're not. We're certainly not going to fiddle with them to try and hit a certain taste box, if you will.
Yep.
They're going to taste like the vintage every year. So then we've gone into 13 and 14. We just released 2014, which is a stunning wine. You know, a little bit softer than the 11 and 12 vintage was because it was a little warmer, a little bit more sort of plush fruit is, I think, the finest wine I've made off this property.
Say that again, sir.
The 15 Chardonnay is the finest wine I've made so far. We'll see what comes from the 16 vintage. We're pretty excited about that too, but the 2015 Chardonnay is something special.
And the Pinot Noir program.
Yes.
God bless you.
Yeah, the Pinot program's coming on leaps and bounds. The 15s are beautiful. We have bottled the Juveniles range, which is from our young vineyards. We are going to make a reserve from the 15 vintage for the first time. So we always said we'd never make a reserve until it's there, until the vineyard gives it to us.
Sure.
And We'll make a reserve from the 15, and I'm pretty sure we'll make a reserve from the 16 vintage as well.
David Patterson, General Manager and Winemaker at Tantalus. How's the Brut program going?
Really good. We disgorged our first Blanc de Noir this year, the 2013 Blanc de Noir, which has been receiving awesome accolades and selling very, very well. Brut Riesling, sort of one of those cult classics that all the Riesling geeks and all the wine geeks seem to love, and the general public often doesn't quite get that wine. It's a very austere style of bubble. Again, that mineral edge that we get from Riesling, but those are kind of play wines for me too. I mean, I love bubbles, and I want to make grow a champagne style wine. So we ferment the base wines in old oak, 6 months in old oak, and then 2 years on terrage, and then we're leaving some for 7 years as well.
David Patterson, who is in a great spot, the general manager and winemaker at Tantalus Vineyards. David, finally, every winemaker that I've ever talked to always has one project that they dream about. What's yours?
Well, I got to go and work with the Hill of Grace at Hinschke.
Oh, man.
I've already ticked that off my list.
That's fantastic.
you can't top that. I mean,
no.
Apart from maybe getting to make some Romani Conti, it would be pretty hard to top that.
Talk about a special spot in the world.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. You've been to the top of the hill, I understand.
Yeah. It's all downhill from here, eh?
All right. What's your website?
Tantalus.ca.
We've been talking about one of my all-time favorite wineries, and that is Tantalus in the Okanagan. David Patterson, General Manager and Winemaker at Tantalus. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13 Vineyards. Road 13 is producing an incredible selection of Rhone-style wines in the much-coveted Golden Mile Bench. Come see why at Road 13, it's all about the dirt.